Coming up on today's show.
I really felt that, you know, God would put the words into me that were the right words to say at the right time. When I'm talking to a player and it's going to be a tough situation where his career could be imbalanced if something doesn't work out, that I had the right words at the right time to get him prepped for what the challenge was ahead of him.
Peace be with you. This is Catholic Sports Radio, located at the intersection of your faith life and sports life, and on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, YouTube, the SiriusXM app, and lots of other platforms. I am Bruce Wozniak, talking with Catholic guests who are current or former athletes, coaches, referees, umpires, clergy, administrators, and more from the pro, amateur, and scholastic ranks, about the intersection of their faith life and their sports life. The show website is catholicsportsradio.net or .com. It will both get you to the same place. Be sure that you have signed up there for the free Catholic Sports Radio e-newsletter that gets sent out every Monday. Social media for this show, Facebook, X, YouTube, and Instagram, all of which there are links for at the top of the website. I invite you to engage with me and the show through one or more of those. The Catholic Sports Radio community is the Facebook group whose members are both listeners and some past guests. There is no cost to join that. The quick way to find it is the big white button that is immediately below my picture near the top of the homepage of CatholicSportsRadio.net. I really enjoy hearing from listeners. Social media, as well as the website, all give you the opportunity to contact me, as does traditional email, which you can do through Bruce@CatholicSportsRadio.net. Now on to my ministry moment for this episode. During the NFL regular season, I would read the comments on game-specific posts on the NFL's Instagram account. Without fail, fans of the losing team would be calling for the head coach to be fired, or the offensive coordinator, or the defensive coordinator, or in some cases, some combination of those. The armchair quarterback stereotype is knowing better in terms of what plays should be called and or what personnel should or should not be used. The fact is, those coaches are in the positions they are in because they are trusted to do what is best for the team and they feel confident in their decisions. Similarly, in our faith life, our actions should be based on conclusions we have reached that are carefully thought out, not knee-jerk reactions or anything careless. In the process, we can stand confident in doing what we feel has been spiritually guided. In the Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 32, verse 8 says, quote, "But the noble plan noble deeds, and in noble deeds they persist," end quote. Or to read it from the New American Standard Bible, "But the noble person devises noble plans, and by noble plans he stands." Moving on now with this week's episode, my guest played 13 seasons with Major League Baseball's Los Angeles Dodgers, who chose him in the first round of the amateur draft. He appeared in a combined total of close to 1,500 regular season and playoff games combined, winning two World Series and being a two-time All-Star, all of this coming in a Dodger uniform. He went on to an 18-year career as manager of the Angels, winning another World Series in 2002, and twice being named American League Manager of the Year. He was also the manager for the U.S. Olympic baseball team that took home the silver medals at the Summer Games in 2021 in Tokyo. Plus, he was at the helm of the U.S. national team at the 2024 WBSC Premier 12, with the Americans finishing third. Welcome to Catholic Sports Radio, Mike Socha.
Bruce, great to be with you.
Thank you, Mike. Really glad to have you on the show. And it's standard operating procedure by starting off with having the guest tell us where they were born and raised and what the family size was. Go ahead and share those details with us to set the stage.
Okay, Bruce. I'm from Morton, Pennsylvania, which is right outside of Philadelphia. And I'm the youngest in our family. I've got an older brother, older sister, and was born and raised in Morton, Pennsylvania.
I do believe that that was a Catholic household that you were raised in. Tell us about young Mike Socha and your early years of formation, maybe even attending Catholic schools.
I started in Catholic schools, and then my mom taught in the public school system. I eventually switched over, but very Catholic household. You know, out of all the things that you talk about with your family, the thing that I took as the best gift they gave me was faith, and it all started at home. And we were at Mass. We were at all the holy days of obligation, and our whole family, not just our immediate family, but our whole cousins and aunts and uncles were all the same.
And generations before you, I'm guessing your grandparents, your great grandparents.
Well, actually, my dad converted. My dad was not Catholic, but the only way going back into the when they got married in you know the in 19 in the 40s, the only way that my grandmother, my mom's mom, was going to let him marry my mom is if he converted to Catholicism. He happily did, and lived a life his whole way.
So cool. So cool. If I have this correct, in high school, you played baseball and were a catcher for future major leaguer Bob Gibson. What or maybe who drew you to baseball in the first place? And was that the only sport you played when you were young?
Yes, I caught Bob Gibson, who is not the Bob Gibson that you're thinking of, who pitched with the St. Louis Cardinals, but his name was Bob Gibson, and he pitched in the major leagues. In Springfield, I played football, loved football, was honored to be captain of the football team, really wanted to go play football in college, and a Penn State recruiter came down, was looking at about six or seven of us, and he was very honest with me. He said, "Mike, you're a little bit too small, a little bit too slow for what we're looking for." I was playing at the time outside linebacker and defensive end, and he said, "You know, you're I hear you really enjoy baseball. You're good at baseball, and that might be the best route you have to, you know, for a career." And he was right, no doubt.
Was it your dad? Was it somebody in particular? What drew you to, I'm going to say both baseball and football?
You're right. My older brother played football, and he you know, you always want to be like your older brother. And my dad was a baseball fanatic. He had played in Johnstown in semi-pro ball in Pennsylvania, in Johnstown, Pennsylvania, and loved baseball. So I got acclimated very quickly, Bruce, to the impact sports was going to have in my life. And my dad and my brother were really the two that I aspired to be like.
If I did the math correctly, you were 17 years old when the Dodgers picked you in the first round of the draft. Those were different times, of course, but still, how did you manage something so big at such a young age? Meaning, there's an obvious temptation to let it go to your head. And as Catholics, we know about humility as one of the seven heavenly virtues. Did your parents or maybe a parish priest help guide you through that life-changing event? Just take us back to that milestone, that draft day.
Well, in our household, we're an Italian American Catholic household. There was no room at all for you to brag. There was no room at all for you to think you're a victim. You took every grace with being humble, and you were very gracious if you had setbacks or defeats. And I learned that at a very, very young age. So, you know, growing up in Philly and having a decision at a very young age. This is where I think about I've had so much divine guidance in my life. And I had planned on going to Clemson University to play baseball. I was awarded a scholarship there in early in 1975 before, you know, this 1976 draft came about. And my mom, being a school teacher, said, "You're going to go to school, you're going to go to college." And then when I get drafted in the first round by the Dodgers, my mom made me call Mr. Ben Wade, who was a scouting director with the Dodgers, and just say, "Mr. Wade, thank you for the honor of choosing me, but I'm going to go to Clemson University." And I thought it was all done. I'm going to go to school. And about 10 days later, I get a phone call, and it's Tommy Lasorda, who was a longtime manager of the Dodgers, but he was in town. He was a third base coach for the Dodgers at the time. They were in town to play the Phillies. And he said, "Mike, I'm going to pick you up in an hour. We're going to go work out, and I'm going to show you why you need to be a Dodger." And lo and behold, when I got after that out of that workout and came home, and one of the toughest things I had to do was tell my mom and dad, "Hey, I don't want to go to school. I want to sign with the Dodgers. But it
Wow.
felt so right. It felt so right. It, obviously could have turned out to be a horrific decision, but it turned out to be the best decision that, or best avenue I ever took in my life. And it just felt so right. And that was how I became a Dodger, Bruce.
Well, and you do have to admire a parent that's going to say, look, your schooling is important. We just heard this 5 weeks ago. Jeff Manto, who played 9 seasons in Major League Baseball, talked to us about the fact that he was drafted by the Yankees. And in his opinion, they thought, well, of course, he's going to come to us because we're the Yankees. And he said, no, his dad said, no, Jeff, school is more important. He later got picked by the Angels. But you take your hat off to the parents that say, look, I know this is a dream. However, let's look at school. And it sounds like you were happy to listen to their advice, but Tommy Lasorda speaks and Mike Scioscia listens.
It was funny. This is why I think there's some divine intervention. It was a path I was supposed to be on. My mom was really adamant I was going to go to school, and she finally broke down and said, "If you really want to take this path, one of the things we're going to get from the Dodgers is they're going to pay for your education. And if anything happens, at least you have an avenue to go to school and find out what you want to do." And so we got that into the contract. And I did attend Penn State, a campus near us, in the off season for 3 off seasons, and have a little bit less than 2 years of credits I got. But she had the foresight to know there has to be a fallback position if you're going to take this step, and that was it. But once you get into pro ball, you realize they want you. They want you to play year round. They want your skill set to evolve to where they know it needs to be. And you develop as a player. So I was, I started, you start going instructionally, you start going to winter ball, and then you get into the major leagues, and that off season schooling, becomes tougher and tougher to finish.
You debuted with the Dodgers in 1980. How easy or difficult was it to fit in with the established veterans? And then also, were ball players open about their faith that maybe you could latch on to a teammate with, hey, I'm Catholic too, or was it now? Back in those days, Bruce, guys were pretty private about things like their faith life.
Well, no, it was pretty private, but a couple of things. They just started Baseball Chapel, which is non-denominational, that has been in Major League Baseball for a long time now. But I was fortunate. This is what I mean about being in the right place. I was fortunate. Tommy Lasorda became the manager, and assimilating into the Dodgers was easier because he did a great job. We were in spring training early with all the, with all the major league stars, Steve Garvey, Ron Say, Don Sutton. I mean, I can go down a whole litany of, David Loesch, Billy Russell. I can go down a whole litany of players that you were rubbing elbows with in drills and spring training. They got to know you after a couple of years, so you felt a little more comfortable around them. But Tommy Lasorda, who was very Catholic, would bring us to Mass every Sunday, both in Vero Beach, and if we're on a road trip, he would have us, have us go to Mass. And there's a quick little story about Tommy, because you learn right away he's the most competitive person you've ever met in your life. So we go to Cincinnati, and we'd play a Saturday night game, and then you'd have a Sunday day game, and then it's a getaway day, so you're leaving for another city. So the game was over at about 11, and by the time you get back to the hotel, it's 12:30. He'd have us in the lobby at 7:15, packed, ready to go. Go to church, and then head to the ballpark and get ready to play the game. So we go into Mass in Cincinnati, and there was a longtime baseball and a guy who had just taken over for Sparky Anderson, named his name is John McNamara, who is a great baseball guy, and he was Catholic. So Tommy brings, there's about 7 or 8 of us going into the church. We get our own pew, and across from us, John McNamara walks in and kind of waves and says hi, sits down. Mass is over, so I think we're going to leave. And Tommy says, "No, wait right here." John McNamara goes over and lights a candle and says a prayer. John McNamara leaves. So Tommy says, "Okay, we can go now." And Tommy goes up to where John McNamara's candle is, and he blows it out. And he puts 2 candles next to it and lights the 2 candles and had us say a prayer. And he said, "Boys, they're not going to get us today." And we left the church. So I mean, that's Tommy Lasorda in a nutshell. But he made sure that we had the opportunity to get to Mass, in every city if we were out on the road on Sunday. And that was really important to me at a young age, and I know to other players also.
Yeah, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. And I love Tommy's leadership because the fact is, audience, if you're thinking about a young Mike Socha, who's a rookie in the major leagues, and with the Dodgers of all teams, no disrespect to the other teams, but with the Dodgers of all teams, and whether you're down in Florida or you're all the way across the coast, you're a long way from home and you're going, man, I'm just stargazing. I'm nervous. I don't know which end is up. And so to have Tommy Lasorda kind of bring it down to reality, as you just described, Mike, what a peace that had to have over you at a time when it's very, very easy to get caught up in your head just kind of on a swivel because look at me, I'm in the major leagues playing for the Dodgers.
Oh, no doubt about it. I think that Tommy was very experienced in professional baseball and obviously as a manager. And he knew the foundation you needed as a young player to be the best person you could be, which in turn made you the best ball player you could be. And he was important to us at that those early years in the major leagues.
Friends, there is always adversity when you're in the pros, and Mike Socha is no exception. Before I have him share his witness with us on that, Alliance Catholic Credit Union is proud to support Catholic Sports Radio, and they invite you to help them support Catholic education. Through Alliance Catholic Foundation, they provide 20 scholarships every year to families striving to ensure their children can attend a Catholic school. If you become a friend of the foundation, you will help them continue this good work. And you will have an opportunity to open an account with Alliance Catholic Credit Union. Learn more at alliancecatholicfoundation.org. Federally insured by NCUA. Do be sure to tell them you heard about them on Catholic Sports Radio. Friends, we are truly blessed to have former Major League Baseball player and manager Mike Socha with us this week. If you have been blessed by Catholic Sports Radio, here is a way you can help bless others through it. In the book, A Spirituality of Fundraising, the late Catholic priest Henry Nouwen reminds us that asking for financial support is really an invitation into a vision, into the work that God has given us to do. Catholic Sports Radio is that work for me. For close to 7 years, I have shown up every week, not because it's my job, it's not, but because God placed this ministry on my heart, and it is a joy to bring these conversations about faith and sports to you and to listeners near and far. But ministry, like any mission, needs partners. Henry Nouwen says that when we invite people to give, we are asking them to join us in something eternal, to connect their treasure to their heart. Your gift is not just covering a hosting fee or equipment cost. It is placing a share of your own story into what God is doing through Catholic Sports Radio. If you feel called to give, you can do so through the blue Donate to CSR button on CatholicSportsRadio.net or by contacting me to send a check. With your permission, I would be honored to thank you on a future episode or keep you anonymous if you prefer. Prayerfully consider making a one-time gift, not to me personally, but into the abundant work God is doing here. Because when you give, you are not just helping keep Catholic Sports Radio going. You are proclaiming with me that Christ belongs in every arena. Mike, a few weeks ago on this show, we heard emotional testimony from current Major League Baseball umpire Mark Wegner. And one of the things that was talked about is how the general public, Joe sports fan, if you will, looks at players and coaches and umpires and just thinks it's all glamorous. But there he was sharing his testimony about something in his family that he was going through off the field that fans did not know about. In your case, Mike, people might not know this, but after all those years playing for the Dodgers, you were signed by the San Diego Padres and Texas Rangers, but never appeared in a game for either team due to injury. How did you handle the emotion of, I think my playing career is ending, which is a huge crossroads for a professional athlete to come to?
Oh, absolutely. It's a tough step to take to really admit to yourself, even though other people can see it, to admit to yourself that you really can't do it anymore. I just know in my heart I wanted to try to, I finished my career with the Dodgers in 1992. They were moving in a different direction. I wanted to continue to try to keep playing because at the time I thought, I'm still young enough. I felt okay at the time. I went down to San Diego. I got hurt in spring training, tore my rotator cuff on my throwing shoulder. and then tried to had surgery, tried to rehab it back in Texas the next spring. It didn't work. But in my heart, I know, Bruce, I tried everything I could. I went as far as I could, and I really believe that God gives us all these tools to use, and He'll know how we'll use them, and He'll know how hard we'll try. And I certainly wanted to give every chance I could before I gave up on it. So I went through rehab twice, trying to get my shoulder strong. It just never came back to the level it needed to. But by that point, I was ready because I had played it out, and I just knew that this wasn't the path I was going to continue on.
I love that answer because the tendency is for athletes to look up to heaven and get mad at God and say, why me? Why now? You bless me with this gift. You know I love this sport. You know I love my job. You know I love coming to the ballpark every day. And it's shaking their fist at heaven instead of taking a step back and saying, wow, I've had all these years in the major leagues. Some guys would kill to have one season in the majors. So I love, Mike, that you had that perspective and you were able to, it sounds like, make peace with it at the time.
Yeah, I had some major bumps in the road along the way, and 1979, I hurt my back while I wasn't even in the major leagues yet. A serious back injury that I rehabbed and overcame. Tore my rotator first time in 1983 and missed a lot of that season. Came back, and you get your little knee surgeries, you get your little injuries that you need to fight to come back from. I just always felt that I had the tools, I had the opportunity, I had the desire, I could overcome all these injuries. So when it got to the point where I couldn't, I looked back and talked to my wife Ann, and I just said, honey, we've come back so many times. I can't be disappointed with the fact that at this time, at my age, and what my injury was, which was very, very ended up being career ending, but it is a very serious injury to your rotator cuff. That I can't look back with anything but joy and happiness and gratitude that I was able to come back and was able to play as long as I could. And some guys played longer. I played 13 seasons. Some guys go on to play 16 seasons, 20 seasons. And as you said, some guys play 2 seasons and have their career derailed by injury. So I've been blessed. I was blessed with the opportunity to rehab again and get to be where I needed to be to play in the major leagues. And I was good with it at that time.
When you become the manager of a Major League Baseball team, there is so much on your shoulders, a lot of which the casual baseball fan would probably not be aware of. How, Mike, in all that gets put upon you, did you make room to keep practicing your Catholic faith?
Well, the first thing I did was find a priest that could come in and say Mass Sunday mornings at the ballpark for us.
Wow. Wow.
And instituting that, it was a godsend, literally, for us and for players that that had to get to the ballpark early, and maybe we're going to have trouble with juggling family life and getting to Mass. So we had about 10 or 12 guys, plus the visiting team would come in, and we'd have a we had a little room where we had Mass said, and we did that for years at Angel Stadium, and I think that helped me with staying in touch and understanding, what your commitment is and fulfilling that commitment to God. And that helped me a lot. Now, everything else that happens, there's a reason why we were given these talents, I really believe, and why we're given the drive to achieve. And I think that God also gave us the ability to separate everything and to understand, look, this is what you need to do. This is where your focus is while you're here. On the game of baseball and setting that environment where guys could achieve. And I worked very hard at that, and it was a great run. I'd be 19 seasons. I managed the Angels, and you don't win every year, obviously, but we had a lot of success, and I was just given that ability, I think, to separate some things and focus on what was important once you got to the ballpark.
Yeah, it makes me think of, again, the interview from a few weeks ago with Mark Wegner, where he said that what he was dealing with in his personal life, the ballpark, the ball field, the games in particular, were the only time that he could focus on something else because he had to be so sharp calling balls and strikes, or if he was a second base umpire or wherever. And so, yeah, there is something special about those opportunities that the Lord has blessed people like yourself and the players and umpires with that. They're going out there and they feel that they're there for a reason. They're really accomplishing something other than just entertainment for the fans.
Well, there's nobody in this world, and certainly no professional in not only sports but any field that doesn't have things that impact them away from their job. And we're no different than the school teacher that has to teach and has, you know, issues maybe with, you know, at home, or an attorney or a doctor or whatever it might be.
Yeah,
so
well
I think
said.
That, like I said, I you know, Bruce, I really believe it's a skill that God gave me to be able to focus and separate the, you know, the things from what your position is right now. And just like when you're at home and you're dealing with something, whether, you know, your son is sick or your daughter's sick or whatever's happening, that you can put 100% of your energies into what their needs are at that time when you're home, and continue to do your, you know, your other job at the ballpark.
Don't misunderstand this next question. By no means am I asking you to name names, but over your 19 years as their manager, did Angels players ever come to you because they did know that you were devoted to your faith and they could talk to you and get some spiritual direction, personal guidance, if you will?
Yes. You know, the players that have faith, and you know, the players that, you know, understand their talents come from, you know, a gift from God. And there are times when there, you know, there are going to be issues where they're having that bump in the road. So a player might not be coming in or coming to my office directly looking for that divine support. But what it always got around to, Bruce, was the fact of saying, look, I know you have faith. You got every tool to get around this. You got every tool to get through this. Let's just sit back and take a deep breath, and we're going to apply ourselves in the right direction, and things will work out. And I think it was a great source of comfort to the player to know that I had an understanding of what they were about and maybe what direction I could push them to go. But again, my counsel to them comes from a higher power too. The fact that I really felt that, you know, God would put the words into me that were the right words to say at the right time. And I'd always pray about that, to say, you know, when I'm talking to a player and it's going to be a tough situation where his career could be imbalanced if something doesn't work out, that I had the right words at the right time to get him prepped for what the challenge was ahead of him.
Wow, that's so vital, because obviously if a player feels like he's struggling, not seeing the ball well, whatever the situation is, he knows he can walk into your office and say, Mike, I'll take any tips. You know that I'm not hitting these days. But for him to feel comfortable saying, look, my kid is really sick, and my wife and I are just beside ourselves. Like, we have no idea. These doctors can't fix it. Like, they just want Mike Socha, the fellow human being, the fellow, maybe it's a Catholic, but they just want someone who understands on a personal level that, look, baseball is to the side right now. Like, I'm talking to you man to man. Like, I need some words to pick me up here, because this is really tough on me when I'm coming to the ballpark.
Yes, and it would always seem like the players that did have that faith would come and be talking about something specifically to baseball, but we're always get around to trusting what, you know, the position you're in right now, and trusting that God's given you the tools to get through it. And you will figure things out, and things will get better. And it's easy to me to say when you have a player that is very talented as a major league player, and we had some great players on the Angels. It wasn't a long shot for me to have the inspiration to say, you know, you're a 300 hitter right now, you're struggling, but I can I can totally believe that in the near term, you're going to be hitting 300 again. You know, that's kind of like what, when you want to, you know, you talk about picking your words to players to let them understand that a little downturn in their career, a little downturn of what's happening is not it's just not necessarily the result they have to deal with. And a lot of guys would, you know, everybody responded, I think, or I know, very positively to that type of meeting. But, you know, and it always didn't work out, but I think the lion's share of the times it did. And I think that's important to relate to a player in those terms.
As we get set to wind down, let's take a trip down memory lane. Was the World Series that you won as a manager your top baseball highlight, or would it be one of the two you won as a player?
No, as a player, Bruce, this is about playing it. This game is about playing it. Like, when you're in the backyard with your brother growing up and, you know, he's pitching to you, you know, you're the one that's at the plate when it's a 3-2 count, bases loaded, you're down by three runs. and you want to hit that grand slam to walk off and win the game. You're not the manager putting somebody in, to pinch hit. So this game's about playing it. And my whole baseball life has been such a blessing. And can always wrap my arms around the fact that I love managing. I love the teaching aspect. I love when I was a coach. There's a lot of things that are positive to that. But it pales in comparison to getting out there and playing the game and having that ability. And that's always going to be my takeaway from the game of baseball. So 1981 was special. We won the World Series, but 1988 was the pinnacle with a team that was, in every sense, a team. And for us to play to beat a lot of the expectations and win the World Series was very special.
Yeah, and I think the way I was thinking was you go through a career where you play 13 seasons all with one team, you win two series, you're two World Series, you're a two-time All-Star, and you go, okay, I've proven myself as a player, but wow, look at this. We just won the World Series. Like now I've shown people I can even do it as a manager too. I'm sure it's you're not taking away from the importance and the enjoyment of that. I totally get the playing part, but I think that's where my mind went to in asking that question is, hey, I've proven myself as a player, and look, now I just did it as a manager.
Well, it felt good. I'm not going to, downplay that it didn't feel good. But if I had one chance right now and God said, Mike, you can go back and you can play in like 1988 and try to win a championship, or you can manage like 2002 and try to win a championship, it's a no-brainer. Oh, let me go back and play.
Well done. Well done. Let's close by having you share with us about your wife, how long the two of you have been in the sacrament of holy matrimony, as well as the family that the two of you have made.
We're going on 41 years of marriage,
Wow.
and it's been just a great ride. We have two children, and they're a boy and a girl. A girl is the youngest, and we've been blessed with two grandchildren who live about 10 minutes away from us. So that part of it's good, and naturally, we always deal with the heartaches of losing, our parents at certain times. When you reflect on that, but we're so blessed and we're so thankful for everything that that's been given to us. And one of the biggest treasures I have in my life is obviously the 41 years of marriage.
Amen. Amen. Just beautiful. Mike, so great to have you on the show. Thank you so much for making time to be on Catholic Sports Radio. God bless you and your family.
Thank you, Bruce.
My pleasure. My pleasure. And audience, I'm going to go with the career that Mike finished as, which is as a manager, as a coach. And we'll close this week's episode with one of our prayers for coaches. So let's do that together right now in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. From Proverbs 10, the one who lives with integrity lives securely, but whoever perverts his ways will be found out. Lord, in a world where integrity seems to be forgotten, help me see those times when I put my own at risk. Give me the strength to ask for help and even more strength to listen. Lord, use my life as an example of integrity so that it may be passed on to another generation and to the athletes whom you have entrusted to me. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thanks so much for listening. This is Catholic Sports Radio. Find more at CatholicSportsRadio.net, as well as on Facebook, X, and Instagram. It is at Cath Sports Radio on all those, CATH, at Cath Sports Radio. I'm Bruce Wozniak, and remember, it's not whether you win or lose, it's that it's Jesus that you always choose.